You're listening to the Simo and Jordan podcast. If listening persists, please see your therapist. Well, it's obviously too late for him. He's been listening far too long.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
You probably in a couple of group chats with like old school friends, I assume?
Yeah, floating around.
Because I'm in a couple of them as well. And most of the time, it's just utter rubbish.
Yeah, nonsense.
What gets kind of chatting there? And you kind of look at your phone after that, it's like, you have 300 unread messages. And I went, go away.
I got to settle in for tonight.
However, last night I was kind of actively on it, like messaging back. And
right.
I don't know, maybe I've got weird friends, but somehow the point of conversation came up. Who famous have you bumped into in a public toilet?
Yes, well, I'd be getting full marks, really.
Well, who have you bumped into?
It was Jeffrey Rush.
Okay.
At a theatre, obviously.
Where Jeffrey Rush hangs around.
You know.
The famous Aussie actor.
The arts.
Yeah.
So bumped into him there. Not literally, mind you, because like...
Dude, can you leave me alone for like 30 seconds?
It's like social distancing has always been a thing in men's bathrooms.
Yes. Before
COVID.
I'm sorry that I have to ask this, but you know, Jeffrey Rush... Did you, like, have a little peek?
No, not at all.
Okay.
No. I kind of got scared away because...
You're intimidated by it.
A little bit. No, so, like, he's played Captain Barbossa, a pretty vicious pirate king. So I was like, well, I'm out of here.
Fair enough.
But he was sitting behind me in the theatre.
Okay.
So I just, like, always kind of, like, looking around, just like,
Oh, my God, famous person.
Yeah, but also, like, has played a pirate, probably a bit unhinged.
True. Also, I was having a chat with some of my friends last night, and one of my friends, none of them had bumped into anyone as famous as Jeffrey Rush in the public toilet. I'm a bit disappointed at that.
Yeah.
However, one of my friends had bumped into an iconic Australian singer.
Lover. I've got a full mega mix going on, Jordan.
Jimmy Barnes, famous probably these days for, I think, some Uber Eats commercials.
I do, I really enjoy that Uber Eats commercial.
I know, it's a good
Barnes-y,
one.
Barnesy, Farnsy, and Arnsy.
Even though we don't have Uber Eats here, I'm disappointed about that.
It's just, like, random.
But, yeah, so he said he bumped into Jimmy Barnes, the famous Australian singer, in a pub toilet in Sydney. This is, again, pre-COVID.
Right.
But he didn't recognise that it was Barnesy.
Barnesy's pretty out there.
Well, I don't know. I haven't bumped into him in a public toilet. I wouldn't know.
Yeah, I'd give him just as much, if not more, of a wide berth than I would Jeffrey Rush. Because have you seen some of the excerpts from his books?
No.
He put, apparently, according to his own words, he put, I think it was, what was it? Like LSD in his porridge for a year?
Yeah, that's while not recommended.
While he was on tour, it's like, how did you even function, mate?
Yeah. Don't recommend that.
What are you doing?
But, Simo, I do want to open up the phones. Get on the phone. Give us a call. 645-729-977. Have you bumped into anyone famous in a public toilet? Because I've bumped into someone, which would probably... It means a lot to me.
Right.
But it probably means bugger all to you and a whole lot of other people.
Okay.
Simo, you know that I'm a big fan of AFL.
Yes.
I'm a big football fan.
Mm-hmm.
My favourite team is Port Adelaide.
Right.
Currently top of the ladder. Just thought I'd drop that in there.
Yeah, and the best player to ever play for Port Adelaide has got a great name. Really fun name.
Who?
Lots of syllables.
Who?
Wanganeen.
Oh, yeah,
it's a fun name to say.
I know, it is a fun name to say.
Gavin as well.
But that is not who I bumped into in a public toilet, Simo. This is going back about 5 years ago now. Bumped into another player with an equally fun name to say. Justin Westhoff.
Oh, the Hoff.
Yes.
Nice.
So, and if you don't know, he's like 200 centimetres tall, maybe taller, big beard, kind of looks like quite hipster.
Yep.
And I was just kind of walking out of the public toilets in a cinema, I think it was, and he was just walking in. I'm like, oh, I know you. I'm going to ask for an autograph, but not now.
Yeah, wash your hands first.
Wash your hands first. I'll just wait out the front.
Wait outside.
But then that's even creepier.
Who's that guy waiting outside the
toilets?
No,
I'm just waiting for a footy player to come out the toilet so I can get a selfie. But Simo, get on the phone, 645-729-977. Who have you bumped into that was a little bit famous in a public toilet?
He's probably used to it, though, the Hoff.
What?
Like, because the change rooms, isn't that like the whole thing? Like, they have all cameras in there, they have people, they have families. So that guy's never been to the toilet alone ever.
I think he has. I'm assuming he goes to the toilet in his own house when he's alone. No, he's not in his bathroom and there's people wanting, oh, sorry to bug you. I know it's 2 o'clock in the morning. No, could I just get a selfie?
It'd freak him out a bit. He probably has a pet. Probably takes the dog or the cat with him and just be like...
Simo and Jordan.
Time for a love chat.
Love a good love chat.
Now, this time involved is where people are finding companionship during the socially distanced times.
Okay.
How are you going with that particular scenario?
In finding companionship?
Yeah.
Not well.
So there has been a survey done, 1,000 participants. It's been run by a romantic product company called We Vibe.
Okay, we will not ask any further questions about that company in question.
And basically what has been discovered is that 28% of participants have admitted to having the hots slash interest or finding companionship in voice recognition software.
Okay.
So are you familiar with Alexa?
Yeah, or Siri is the Apple one.
Yeah, that's right. But so Alexa is the one that's being used, Amazon Alexa.
Yeah.
28% of people taking the survey saying they're getting the hots for Alexa. Among those is 40-year-old man named Brian.
Okay, well, if you know a 40-year-old guy called Brian...
Yes.
...who has just purchased an Amazon Alexa...
Mm.
...you now know why.
So he has... This is, by the way, this has been reported widely all the way to the New York Post.
Okay.
He apparently is... It's not going well in regards to his relationship with Alexa.
Well, I can understand.
What do you mean?
It's Alexa. It's a robot.
So?
It doesn't have human emotions. It's there to tell you the weather or to say, well, go to the doctors today or to give you reminders like that. It's not meant to fall in love.
Sounds like a committed relationship to me.
Yeah, not gonna lie, kind of does to me as well.
No emotions and tells you when you got to be somewhere. So he's gone on to say that, that he was curious about dating his Alexa smart speaker slash
Alexa.
So
hang on, have they actually interviewed some 40-year-old bloke called Brian?
Yeah, his name
is in a relationship with Alexa.
Brian Levine.
Okay.
So he mentioned that Alexa so far has mentioned that she just likes him as a friend.
Oh, he's in the friend zone of Alexa.
He's in the Alexa friend zone. Also, when he tried to get to know her better, he stated that when I asked her about her favourite song, she tells me, but when I ask her to play her favourite song, she gets confused.
Aww.
He also goes on to say, or when I ask her why something is her favourite, she'll have no answer. It can be frustrating.
I can, again, understand why it is frustrating.
So apparently yesterday at a random point in time, Alexa just started playing this song to Brian. 'Cause baby, now we got bad blood. Oh, so I'm worried about their relationship. Do you think it's time for Brian to move on?
Well, I don't want to break the bad news to Brian or anything like that, but I think if, 28% of people are having relationships with Alexa... Brian, I think Alexa might be cheating on you.
That's an excellent
with 28%
point.
Of other people.
However, maybe there's other voice recognition software out there for Brian. You know, big, what do they say? Big sea, lots of fish. There's still...
Big sea, lots of fish.
There's plenty of other fish in the sea. Is that the...
Yeah, you got it right the second time around.
So maybe there's some
the
other...
big sea, there's a lot of fish.
Isn't there...
Wow.
Maybe there's some other voice recognition fish available for Brian.
Maybe if he's looking to have a relationship with a talking fish...
Maybe...
That could be a concern.
Maybe Siri's available?
Yeah.
Maybe.
Or, can you name another one?
No.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
And Simo, I want to talk about the four-legged creatures, the horses.
It's weird. I don't know how it does things to people that it does, but good on Daryl for coming up with that one. Well done.
Well, Simo, I reckon, you know, just to get us in the mood of talking about horses, maybe we should play it again.
Nope.
No, are you sure?
Nah, maybe later.
What about now?
Move on.
Fair enough. Simo's made his angry face. I must move on. Well, Simo, the horses I want to talk about, they are actually an island.
Yes.
Where two loose horses were rounded up after being left unattended for 2 days.
What determines a loose horse? Is this a horse that just doesn't listen to its parents and goes out late at night, breaking curfew?
No, I would suggest a loose horse is a horse which is just casually walking around Dublin, the capital city of Ireland.
Oh, okay, right.
Just the city centre. And it went unattended for 2 days.
That's run-of-the-mill stuff for the Irish.
Like, admittedly, a lot of people are at home. Not as many people are going to town because of COVID and all that sort of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But still.
Oh, you're like, so you're just like, nature is healing.
I mean, it could be.
The fish are back in Venice. The horses are back in Ireland.
The horses are back in Dublin. everyone knew horses native to Dublin before man came and kicked them out.
It sounds like they should have a rendition of, you know, the boys are back in town. It's like, the horses are back in Dublin.
Well, Simo, you're wanting some kind of horse-related song.
Yeah.
If only we had, like, I don't know, the hook of one ready to go and to play.
Yeah, righto.
Oh, look at that. That was lucky.
I've muted my headphones. You go riding on
the horses, yeah. Should be the national anthem.
So, well done to those horses. Have you got their names? Are we giving them a shout-out this morning or what?
No, unconfirmed what the horses' names are. What I can tell you is the horses were captured, examined by vets. They're both completely fine after their little adventure in Dublin.
Well, we can give two horses that I know a shout-out.
Okay, yeah, let's do that.
Scooter and Boo. Morning, guys. How you doing?
How do you know Scooter and Boo?
They're in the back paddock near my house.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, morning to Scooter. Morning to Boo.
Hey, guys.
Hey, guys. Hope you're enjoying your hay.
And the show.
And enjoying whatever you do as horses. But, Simo, rounding up horses in Dublin. So, obviously, someone spotted two unattended horses and I should perhaps call the police.
Yeah.
I hope Dublin has a mounted horse police force.
Because
if they do, this would be the perfect time to bring it out.
Very true.
Just saying.
Yeah.
Like, we've got two suspects which perfectly fit your skill level as horses. Go and round them up. Just go, be gone.
Hey.
Deal with the situation.
At what point did they become suspects? Were they breaking the law?
No, okay, well, that's a good point.
Yeah, these horses are innocent. How dare you paint them with that brush?
Well, okay, well, sorry to Scooter and Boo and to any other horses I may have offended.
Maybe they were there in, like, the Centrelink line, or they wanted to join the mounted police, and you've just set...
That's a good point, actually.
You've set the very thing they want to become on them.
Maybe they were just wandering around going, I'm sure the police station's somewhere here. I printed off my resume last night. My key interests involve eating hay and pooing. I mean, that's enough, surely.
Simo and Jordan.
And you think your grammar's good enough to get away with crimes?
I wasn't planning on committing any crimes, don't get me wrong.
But more to the point, do you think that your grammar and your understanding of the English language would enable you to do so?
Well, what do you mean by grammar? Because I like to think it's okay. There's a certain person here in the office who shall remain nameless.
Ooh.
Who often stumbles on pronunciation of words... and grammar, yeah. And I have to correct her.
Oh, I know another one as well. There's a guy in this building, he's trying to say scorched earth the other day, and he said scorched earth.
Well, that's close enough.
However, wow, a lot of judgmental looks out there this morning.
Yeah, all of a sudden everyone else in the office has started coming judging us. Since we've picked on their ability to speak English, all of a sudden everyone in the office is judging us.
I got to be honest, I fell into that trap. I was... interrogating you,
yeah.
Then I joined in with you on tackling them. So yours is okay?
I like to think it's okay. I'm sure I have made some mistakes.
So that you're not on trial, but this
perhaps one mistake was insulting people in the office who are probably going to attack me after the show.
So this guy is on trial. His name's Robert, 25-year-old Robert. He's trying to avoid a jail sentence, and he did so by trying to fake his own death certificate.
Interesting.
So he put together the phony death certificate, got his fiancée handed over.
Okay, I was going to say, because where I was going to go with this, it's just like, hello, judge. Yes, no, I can't go to jail. I'm dead.
Actually dead.
Here is the proof that I am dead. There's my death certificate. I'll just pop that there for you to see that I am dead. And now I'm going to head off and grab a coffee because I'm dead.
So, but even more rough on putting it on the fiancée, like she's like, Robbie, I don't think this is the best way to go about things, but I'll hand it to the lawyer if you think we really should.
Yeah, I'll break the law if you think we should.
So Robert has now, he's going to face even more charges. So originally he was up for charges of possessing a stolen vehicle, attempted grand larceny of a truck, and now he's got the added sentence of, faking his own death.
how did his, so did he misspell something on the death certificate? Is that why the grammar thing?
Yeah, because you know how there's the registry of, what is it, deaths, marriages, is it deaths?
Births, deaths, and marriages.
Right, that one.
So, they're very, like, opposite ends of the spectrum, from, like, kind of happiness. Like, birth, oh yes, marriage, yay, we're so happy, deaths.
Not so good.
Less so.
So he misspelt the word registry.
And that's what kind of caused them to kind of realise that this is maybe a bit of an issue here.
Yeah, they realised it wasn't legit because he spelt registry, he got the G and the E round the wrong way.
Okay.
Also, the S was a bit rogue and it was all over the shop. So, yeah.
Well, you found you guilty because of a rogue S.
But it makes you think, it's like, wow, what's his... Because you know how when they chuck him in prison, they become more specialised in crime. So... There's going to be, he'll be in the clink with, you know, like Dave, the getaway driver, and, you know, and Boris, the pickpocket.
And Paul, the guy who can hopefully spell.
Yeah, because now Robert's going to jail. It's like, oh, we need someone to put together some fake driver's licenses for us. Can you do that, Robert? Oh, yeah, I can do that.
Well, no, because you'll get it back and it'll say a fishing license or something like that. I was like, no, driver's license, you got it wrong again.
Driver's license? This says driver's... Lice tent.
And there's 17 rogue S's around.
Takeaway with Simo and Jordan.
I love a Guinness World Record. I love it especially when it involves cheese.
Oh, yes.
You know, I'm a bit of a cheese connoisseur.
How many different cheeses can you list?
Oh, gee, we'll be here all day.
You can do a few?
Yeah.
I reckon I got like one, two. I got feta, cheddar, blue, parmesan.
Sounds like the names of some weird boy band. You can imagine that. 2021 number one album. The Cheese Boys introducing feta, blue, parmesan. I can see that happening.
Yeah, more than likely. What were they? The Hanson twins. Maybe that was them.
Maybe.
blue Hanson, Cheddar Hanson, and the other one.
We haven't even made this boy band and already we've started branding one, the other one.
Yeah.
The irrelevant fifth one that just dances in the background. Look, you are the posh spice of the Cheese Boys.
Yeah, and then there's the one that smells way too much on stage. That's Parmesan, isn't it? Yeah. Honestly, he needs to be at the back of the stage.
Well, if he smells of cheese, it would kind of fit the brand.
True.
Anyway, we're not creating our own cheese-based boy band. What I want to touch on is a Guinness World Record has been broken for the largest wheel of cheese.
Oh, okay.
This was in Italy, it happened. And they made a wheel of pecorino cheese weighing in at... Oh, well, let Simo go have a guess.
How much it weighed?
Yeah.
Oh, mate.
It has to be quite large, remember?
Yeah, it would have to be. 500, like... 50 tons.
Okay, no, it hasn't. I saw the moment of panic in your face when I said, guess how much a large block of cheese weighs.
Well, cheese is quite...
And you took about 10 seconds making these noises. Before just saying something ridiculous.
Cheese is quite heavy, though, isn't it?
Well, it depends how much you have. If you have more of it, it's heavy.
And this happened in Italy?
Yes.
Okay. It's your eye
like a bigger beep. Good song.
Yes, true.
No, Simo, so this wheel of pecorino cheese, it weighed 600 kilograms.
Oh, that's pretty good. It's not quite
30 tons or whatever you said before.
It's not quite 50 tons, but it's up there.
This cheese was made in 2019, so it was made last year.
Okay.
Before being aged for 12 months, before being officially examined by a Guinness World Record adjudicator.
What, just to make sure that it hadn't like snuck a few anvils in there or somewhere in the cheese brew?
God, yeah, I can imagine that.
Like, how do they test it? You got to get a big... You'd have to forget the Guinness World Record sized shredder.
Yeah.
And then go through, you go like, oh, we're going to grate all this cheese.
Well, two Guinness World Records in one day, the biggest cheese and the biggest cheese grater. There you go, double it. But this beats the previous world record that was set in 2009, which was a block of cheese that weighed 530 kilograms.
Oh, who did that one?
Italy again.
Okay, right.
Italy. That was pecorino cheese as well.
Hmm.
Yeah, imagine that. You've set the world record, 530 kilogram block of cheese. No one's breaking this, guys. We got this in the bag. Someone cook up some pasta or something like that. We've got so much cheese to go all over it.
I was like, have you seen...
Fine. And then it gets broken.
You seen when they cook pasta inside cheese bowls and stuff.
That's don't say that. You're making me hungry.
How good.
Don't say that. You're making me hungry, Simo.
But that is a lot of... If you're going to do that with a 600 kilograms?
Yeah. Not 600 grams. I think you can buy bags of cheese at the supermarket that are bigger than 600 grams.
They're about nine.
We've broken the world record. It's 600 grams. And then just some mothers just got some, like, bigger cheese or something like that. It's like, oh, well, this is a kilo, so I think I beat you.
Simo and Jordan, this is the end, but only of today's podcast. And remember, don't move toward the light.
No, go toward the light.
No, don't go toward the light.
You've got to go toward the light.
Don't listen to him.
Yes.
Shut up.
Right.
To hear Simo and Jordan live, join them for Takeaway on air weeknights from 7 across the Capital Radio Network.
Yeah, that should do it.